basketball is supposed to be fun. Get your jokes and your banter off. But there's so much to like in this league if you just look for it that way.
I love it. And don't take our jokes away, because I don't know what Jasmine will do if we're not able to crack jokes. Yesterday, you were early. Last night, on time. Right now, you late. Welcome to You Late with Jasmine and Nikias, ready to give you the rundown of last night and what's coming up. Although after last night, there's not much coming up in the NBA because the Warriors are champions. You Late is presented by Buzzr, the hottest new app for watching the best moments in live sports. Download Buzzr in the App Store or wherever you get your apps and never miss the moment with Buzzr. I am not Jasmine, as you have figured out the last few times we've done this. Jasmine is on her way back from watching the Celtics not win a championship in Boston. I'm sure the Laker fan in her was very secretly giddy about that. I'm Jared, and I am with Nikias. Nikias, how are you?
I am doing well. Probably not as well as Jasmine is. She went to the Celtics funeral last night, so I'm sure she is posing for pictures and making the rounds in that way. But no, I'm doing pretty well, doing pretty well. NBA season is, well, the 2021-22 campaign is officially over now. But as we all know, one, basketball isn't over. The W's in full swing. But two, the NBA is never really over.
No.
Like, we were waiting on game six and we got a trade. Like, this, it's not going to stop. We just transitioned to draft and free agency and all that good stuff. So it is going to stink a little bit to put a bow in this particular season, because this was a very fun one to follow. But let's dig into the finals a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, last night's game was interesting because Boston, they got out to a great start. I don't think you can get off to a better start than what Boston did the first 5-6 minutes of the game, you know, getting out to a 14-2 run. That's exactly what you sign up for. And then the next thing you know, the Warriors go into 21-0 run to end the quarter, and they're up by five at the end of one. And that's about as close as the game would get the rest of the way. I mean, it's just a testament to how great the Warriors are, and, you know, all the, you know, the depth scoring they have and their defensive play, and the fact that Boston continued to turn the ball over a billion times in the series, which was ultimately their undoing. I couldn't get enough after the game of Steve Kerr saying this was the most unlikely Warriors title team out of everything that they've had. But then you kind of look at what the Warriors did this year, and it's kind of hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, like when he said that, I was like, And then I was like, okay, well, this one was pretty improbable. Like, I personally didn't have the Warriors winning a title this year. Like, I had questions about, one, their general health, because Steph has had an interesting, like, year and a half, 2 year stretch. Klay Thompson hadn't been back at that point after dealing with two very significant leg injuries. And just looking at the roster construction, it's like, okay, if Steph is healthy, we know he's an offense onto himself, unlike anything we've ever seen. But beyond him, who do you trust to create? We don't know when Klay's coming back. We don't know which version of Wiggins we're going to have. And again, going to the beginning of the season, we didn't know what Jordan Poole was going to become, especially not this season. And all of those questions were answered. And along the way, Steph is shooting poorly slash misses some time. Again, Klay Thompson comes back midway through the year. Draymond Green misses a big chunk of the season. And before he went down, Golden State, as much as we talked about Boston having the best defense in basketball, Golden State had the best defensive rating in basketball up into like December before Draymond went down, and they had to navigate all of those different things. And so for them to put it together, knock off the Nuggets, which a bit of an unfair fight because of their injuries, but you knock off last year's MVP, you fight and beat this upstart, versatile, athletic, long rangy Grizzlies team with a lot of heart to it. And, you know, you have a guy miss some time, but ultimately Golden State was able to figure them out and beat them at their own game. We talked a little bit about how they were able to win the paint battle against a team much bigger and much more athletic than them. That was impressive. Then they beat Luka, and then they do this to the Celtics team, which, again, elite defense, but the constant in that series was Steph Curry. As great as Boston's defense is, as versatile as it is, as great as their personnel is and the different things they can throw at them, they never felt comfortable against Steph. They tried drop against them, and it's Al Horford two or three steps above the three-point line. That's not what drop coverage is supposed to look like. You're not supposed to be getting screens at half court and being worried about a pull-up from 40 feet out. That's just not what basketball was intended to be, and Steph Curry is just that game-breaking. They can't switch against Steph because he's driving by Robert Williams. He's driving by Al Horford and forcing help. If you trap Steph, Draymond and all the offense means we had against him, now you're giving him 4-on-3s again. And that's where he's at his best, being a playmaker in the middle of the floor. And so it was just impressive for them to go through their own muck throughout the regular season, maintain a high enough seed, and then put it together for this postseason run. Like, the offense was clunky at times because of some of the injuries and stuff, and they ended up, I think, had the best offense throughout the playoffs this year. Like, it's just the experience kicked in. Ultimately, this was just a very good team that pressed the right buttons at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, it was vintage Steph. I mean, the one play, I think it was late in the first quarter. I forget who he took the feed from, but Clay's coming back and then runs out of bounds and loops back around and he hits, you know, a tough three. Even Mark Jackson said, or it was either him or Van Gundy, who said, like, you don't realize how difficult a shot that is. Yeah. And then I'm watching ESPN's coverage after the game, and Legler, who's as good as anyone on the telestrator, is showing off that one play. I think it was early in the third quarter where Draymond hit, like, not one but two screens to set up Steph to hit another three. And I mean, it's just vintage Steph. I don't know what else you can really say about him at this point. I know he can kind of rub people the wrong way because he's a little kind of corny, for lack of a better term, but I love the fact that 2 minutes left in the third quarter, he hits that three-pointer to go up 17 or whatever it was. He's pointing at his ring finger, basically saying, like, it's over, like, it's time to get that ring. The Celtics, to their credit, they kept the game interesting. Every time they closed to within 8, 9, 10 points or so, the Warriors always just had an answer for him. And then, sure enough, you know, with a couple minutes left, Steph hits another shot and he does, like, the go to sleep thing. And I don't know what else you can say about Steph. He's an all-time great. I don't know where you would put him necessarily in, like, the top 10 or whatever all time, but I mean, this is just legendary stuff. And it was very cool. Like, he didn't really need the finals MVP to validate his legendary status, but it's cool to see that he got it and ultimately did validate it.
Yeah. Like, this, you pretty much hit on it. Like, I don't know what else there is to say. Like, there was always something. The second most unlikely ring during the run was the first one. I feel like they kind of came out of nowhere. Like, there were seeds based on what they did in the playoff run before, but no one saw them becoming this electric on both ends of the floor.
And they caught that Cavs team that had a billion injuries that got to the finals.
And so it's like, okay, this is nice, but you did this. And then they win 73 games the next year and they don't win. It's like, see, this is why LeBron is this. And the Warriors were always whatever. And then they win the next two with Kevin Durant. And it's like, well, of course you won. You got Kevin Durant. And so with this one, I don't know. Like, you don't have the Steph's leaning on another superstar thing. You don't have, like, a weak competition angle at all. Again, you went through MVP, high-level defense with an MVP-caliber talent at point guard. Luka Doncic, who was an MVP-caliber player, and Dallas was a good defense all year long. And then you get Boston. Jason Tatum, all-NBA first team. He's going to be an MVP-caliber guy if he isn't already. Jaylen Brown, best defense in basketball, not just statistically, but just in terms of Steph basically defended 48 minutes of Marcus Smart and Derek White that are conservatively two of the seven best screen navigators in basketball. That's what Steph had to face in addition to, oh, well, we're switching to off-ball stuff now. Instead of being defended by Marcus Smart, now it's Jaylen Brown. Instead of Jaylen Brown, now it's Jason Tatum.
And he drops 34 in game six of the finals to win MVP.
Yeah. And it's just like, what do you – and again, he didn't have superstar production elsewhere. Andrew Wiggins was very good in the series. Klay Thompson's defense in the back end of the series, very good. Draymond, I think, had his best game in game six overall.
Yeah.
With the playmaking, finally made a three in the series, which is hilarious. But defensively flying around. Like, he got contributions, but Steph was the unquestioned alpha. Went through three different top 10 defenses in this run. And again, the Warriors dealt with their own stuff throughout the regular season. And they overcame it all. Like, there's nothing to question. And this zooming out on Steph a bit, this is four titles. He has the finals MVP, which is cool. But again, you knew what kind of impact he had in those four title wins. Two MVPs, a whole lot of All-NBA team selections, a whole lot of All-Star selections. What is there to say? And I said this on the dunker spot with Steve. I'm just like, at the very least, the haters have to take the offseason and think of something else. If you can't just hang the hater card up or cut it up or throw it away. At the very least, you got to take the offseason. Like, okay, what do we get at now? Because I don't know what you do. I don't know what you say outside of I just don't like Steph because, which is your prerogative. But
even Steph last night, they're showing the footage of him celebrating in the locker room, and he's just like screaming at the camera, like, "What are they going to say now?" It's like, you know what? It's a good point. What are they going to say now? Like, well, I don't know what the Skip Bayless's and the talking heads of the world can really say after that performance.
Oh, that's going to flip it to Boston being frauds. That's all it is. Because that's what you take away from watching this Boston team in the calendar year 2022. They just didn't deserve to be here. Like, what are I don't want to get on the whole rant about that. But
right,
props to Steph. Props to this Golden State team. What a run. I didn't see it coming. They surely proved me wrong this year.
All right. A couple of other things I want to mention real quick with the Warriors before getting into the Celtics side of this. You mentioned the performance by Draymond. 100%. I actually thought one of the unsung performances of the game was Kevon Looney just grabbing as many boards as he did. And, you know, just the fact that they didn't really have like a huge rebounding edge on the glass, but I thought that was a big key of the game because I thought that was part of kind of what always kept the Celtics at arm's length as they were, you know, trying to claw their way back into the game. So credit where it's due there. Jordan Poole as well, just hitting, you know, enough big shots to be that secondary scoring option that the Warriors need, in addition to Wiggins and, you know, Clay only at 12, but you mentioned the defense that he played, and we got to talk about the Celtics because we've talked about the turnovers throughout the series. They got absolutely nothing from their bench in this game. And really after game one, if we're being fair, they got very little contributions from their bench. It's not Jaylen Brown's fault. He had 34 last night. He did what he could, but not exactly the kind of performance you want to see from a budding superstar in Jason Tatum.
I hate that the season ended this way for Jason Tatum, because as we talk about like some of the trials that Golden State had to go through, Boston did too throughout this entire run. Again, they became basically the most dominant team in the East, if not the league, in the calendar year 2022. And a lot of that was Jason Tatum, one, just shooting better, because I felt like he was playing pretty well in the first portion of the season, but the shot just weren't falling. Sub 30% from three, sub 45% from the field. Like, it just wasn't good. And you add in the, hey, he's not passing the ball, and some of the weirdness on their roster before they made some trades. Like, it was like Boston, you know, early January, they were the 11th seed.
Right.
This wasn't can Boston figure it out and get home court. This was can Boston get out of play-in range. That's where they were before they turned this around. And so for Jason Tatum in particular to shoot better and then just take another leap as a playmaker and as a guy that manipulates defenses in the half court, it was very impressive stuff. And he faced his own challenges throughout this postseason run. Like, the Brooklyn series was a sweep, but he had Bruce Brown in his jersey. And he had the defense keying in on him. He solved that. Milwaukee, he was dealing with Wes Matthews at his big age, still hounding stars this season for the Milwaukee Bucks. And you got Giannis lurking around, lurking behind him. You got Brooke Lopez lurking behind him. They threw different coverages at him, and he had to figure that out. And sure enough, he explodes in the game six and has another big game in the game seven to send Milwaukee, Giannis, the defending champions, home. That happened. Miami, as elite and as tough and as versatile as the defense as there is, saw some PJ Tucker, saw some Jimmy Butler, saw some Bam Adebayo on some switches and had Bam lurking behind him sometimes. Saw some Victor Oladipo coming off the bench. Saw some Caleb Martin. Miami threw the kitchen sink at him too, and he was able to figure it out. And he gets to Golden State, and he just couldn't score efficiently inside the arc. He had Andrew Wiggins on his hip, and he had Klay Thompson helping off. He had Steph Curry, who's just a good defender, period. Like, that also needs to be put to bed if it hasn't been already. But you had Steph helping. You got Draymond Green lurking around. You have Kevon Looney switching out, and he's a pretty good defender in space. And if you do beat him, again, it's Draymond behind it. And Jason Tatum had to try to navigate that and carry a scoring and playmaking load while also having to defend Draymond just in case they run a pick and roll so he can switch out onto Steph. He's defending Draymond with the intention of switching if they do an off-ball screen for Klay Thompson. Like, he has to navigate all of that at once in his first finals appearance after a sweep that was very close, a seven-game series against a high-level defense and MVP guy, and the one seed in the East, who also happened to have one of the best defense in the league, coached by the best coach in basketball, in my opinion, Eric Spoelstra and stuff. And that's another seven-game series. Like, it just kind of wore on him. And he didn't play great in game six. I don't want to take that away, but I don't want that to turn into Jason Tatum isn't ready. He's a fraud.
Right.
People on the timeline bringing up like the text to Kobe and stuff. And like, I get it from a joke perspective, but I hope no one takes it beyond the joke. And it's like, oh, well, Jason Tatum actually isn't as good as people were saying he is. He is that good. He faced the Warriors at full tilt on defense. Like, let's appreciate what Jason Tatum was able to do. It's okay to acknowledge that he kind of underwhelmed, at least as a scorer. But the challenges that he faced throughout the year and the different things that he saw in this series in particular, that's a lot. That is a lot for a young guy in his first finals. Give him props.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning experience. And they're young. They'll be back at some point. I'll be curious to see if they're back next year because the East looks pretty loaded. You have to assume that the Bucks, they're going to have Middleton back. They're going to be just as dangerous. The Heat are going to be good. The Sixers aren't going anywhere with Embiid and, you know, assuming Harden's back. I got to assume with Brooklyn that Ben Simmons is actually going to play at some point, and, you know, KD and Kyrie are going to figure it out. So I'll be kind of curious to see who comes out of the East next year because, you know, I mean, we still have a whole offseason to go and kind of see where the what these teams will actually look like going into next season, but it's not easy.
Not easy at all. It's a pretty deep field, and I guess that's also the beauty of what Boston was able to build, because their foundation is 24-year-old Jason Tatum and 23 or 24 or whatever Jaylen Brown. Two star wings under 25 is your foundation.
It's pretty good.
Marcus Smart's under contract. Derek White's still under contract, so that defense is going to be there. Al Horford, they're going to have to figure out what his extension is going to be like, but he has another year on his deal, at the very least partial guarantee or whatever. So maybe we see a wave and then we're going to bring you back on something. But basically their top seven is going to be back. And they will basically run a 7-8-man rotation in the finals anyway. So barring injury, they should absolutely just be right there. They're going to have to add some shooting off coming off their bench. But I don't want to be unfair and be like, okay, pencil them into the Eastern Conference Finals, because again, the field is deep, but like they should be clubhouse leaders at the very least. They're there already while their stars were trying to figure some stuff out. Now they're going to have an offseason to kind of stew on this. And we've seen the kind of year-by-year growth from both of the Jays. Like, I don't have a reason not to believe that Jaylen Brown is not going to come back a better ball handler. Maybe not a great one, but at the very least a good enough one to handle more offensive responsibility. And if Jason Tatum's figuring out the playmaking stuff, that was what I had the most question about with him as a player, period. Could he get there? I don't really have that question. If the offseason goal for Jason Tatum is, hey, score better, that feels like low-hanging fruit for a guy like Jason Tatum.
Right.
So Boston should be right there if they're healthy.
You have any final thoughts on this NBA season now that it's in the books? Because for me, I think just seeing the Warriors get back to the top of the mountain and just how rare that is in terms of they had their dynasty run where they went to the finals all those years. Then they bottom out. We're the worst team in the league, had dealt with a million injuries. Kevin Durant left. And now to see them reclaim their throne was really cool, just as a sports fan to see. You don't know how many kicks of the can you're going to get at this thing. So for the Warriors to take advantage of that and to win another championship, especially with Clay and Steph and those guys and Draymond at this stage of their career, was just really impressive for me. I don't know if you have any final thoughts in general on the season.
I echo what you said, and I think on that point, I think the overarching theme for me as I sit back and reflect on this season is just appreciate greatness. And that's a very basic thing to say, but like, you get a series like this to where you get Steph Curry against this Boston defense, and you see them try different things, and they're capable of trying different things, because again, this was the best defense in basketball. And to see what Steph Curry is able to do. And basically, the Celtics were wrong in a way, no matter what scheme thing they did. And that's with their elite personnel. And it's just like, yo, at a certain point, we got to stop saying, well, Boston should have did this. They should have did this. They should have did this. They could do this. They did.
Right.
This is what greatness looks like. Again, there were conversations throughout the first 2-3 games of the series. Like, why are the Celtics playing drop coverage? Steph Curry's the greatest shooter ever. And it's like, okay, I get that at a point. But like, think about what Boston's drop coverage looks like. When you think drop coverage, you look at like the Bucks, And it's, here's the high pick and roll. Brook Lopez is the center, but he's like around the free throw line, so you can't get to the rim. Al Horford, Robert Williams, they're above the three-point line. Not just heels on the line, like two or three steps above. That's how Steph Curry breaks what a traditional defense looks like. That should be advantage Steph, not slander the Celtics. And so I look at what Steph was able to do, and even going back to the first round series with Boston and Brooklyn, it's just like the memes, because the Nets had a very interesting, let's put it that way, season. Right. And it ends in a sweep. And it's like, well, Kevin Durant came up short, yada, 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 yada. And I'm just like, guys, I get it. But also, Kevin Durant missed a chunk of time in part because he was carrying this team because of all the weirdness on the roster, which, I mean, that's Brooklyn slash Kyrie, whatever fault. But think about how good your defense has to be to make Kevin Durant look the way that he looked in that series. This should be holy crap Boston, not KD stinks.
Right.
That's not what it's supposed to be like. And so I just look at what these legends were able to do throughout this postseason, throughout this regular season, and then so much of the young talent in the league. Like, we are in a really good place if we just kind of step back. I'm not saying you should never have jokes or criticism or anything like that, but like, when it becomes legitimate hate and discrediting people and stuff, and it's like, look at how much talent is in the league, man. Look at how much talent is in the league. We saw Ja in the postseason. Like, Trae Young had a terrible postseason run against Miami Heat in the first round. But again, think about how good your defense has to be to make Trae Young, who became the second player since Tiny Archibald over 50 years ago, to lead the NBA in total points and assists in the same season. Think about how good your defense has to be to shut that guy down in a five-game series. There's so much to like. So many young storylines. So many, again, the Warriors just won with their older core, with Jordan Poole emerging, with Andrew Wiggins finding himself on both ends of the floor. It's just, it's fun. Basketball is supposed to be fun. Get your jokes and your banter off. But there's so much to like in this league if you just look for it that way. That's kind of my thing. This is a really fun season for me.
I love it. And don't take our jokes away, because I don't know what Jasmine will do if we're not able to crack jokes. Shout out to the Buzzer Beats. You can follow them on Twitter at Buzzer Beats. Subscribe to the newsletter. You can listen to the podcast, the Buzzer Beats podcast. Be sure to download the Buzzer app from the App Store or wherever you get your apps. And the NBA season, unfortunately, is over, my friends. So for me, I will be watching game two of the Stanley Cup final on Saturday night between the Lightning and the Avalanche. If you are a very casual hockey fan, these are probably two of the most fun teams in the league, with Tampa and Colorado. Game one was a lot of fun. It went to overtime. Colorado won 90 seconds in overtime, the extra session. And I think we're probably going to get seven games there. So it's going to be a blast to watch. So I would definitely recommend checking that out as much as you possibly can.
Yes to all of that. As someone who watched game one of the Stanley Cup final, me and my Dunker Spot co-host Steve Jones Jr. were hosting a watch party for a WNBA game. And it quickly became, it was an 81-54 game midway through the third. I was like, all right, let's turn something else on. So we just, on a whim, because we're not really hockey people.
Right.
It's like, you know, let's see what this is. And there was so much going on. There was so much going on. This guy was like, okay, yeah, we got to tap in for the rest of this final. So absolutely check it. As a casual fan, I can vouch. Check it out. If you don't have anything else to do, you don't have anything else you want to watch, just give it a shot. It's jam-packed action. You're never going to be bored, at the very least. If you're just like, okay, I don't really understand it, and you don't like it, that's cool. But there is plenty of activity, plenty of physicality, plenty of speed and action in it. So check that out. If you do want your basketball fixed, the NBA season is done, but basketball is not. The WNBA season is in full swing. So we have a pretty hefty slate tonight. We have Seattle Storm facing the Connecticut Sun. Both teams are surging right now. Both teams have MVP caliber players. Jonquel Jones for the Suns literally won MVP last season. Breonna Stewart is one of the greatest basketball players ever. Period. So check that out. We have the Phoenix Mercury and the Dallas Wings also tonight, and the Atlanta Dream are taking on the Chicago Sky. No games on Saturday, which is weird, and I'm not going to get into a scheduling rant on this particular show, but on Sunday, we are jam-packed. It's a five-game slate, so 10 of the 12 WNBA teams will be playing. If you want to just hop around, try to find you a team or a player that you like or whatever, the two games I would highlight from the Sunday slate, they're both early. The New York Liberty with Sabrina Ionescu are taking on Seattle Storm. And right after that game is going to be the Washington Mystics taking on the Connecticut Sun. Pair of elite defenses. We should see Elena Delladonna, that one for the Mystics, who, when healthy, is also one of the best basketball players alive. So pretty of star power there, pretty of defensive, that's your thing. Check out the WNBA. It's really good basketball.
And since you mentioned the Storm, shout out to Sue Bird. She announced yesterday that this will be the final season in her legendary career, and she's the best. So we want all the best for Sue Bird, and you know, shout out to her for one of the all-time great careers.
Absolutely. Still dishing out assists, still knocking down threes at a high level, and defending pretty well this year, which is not something you would expect from someone at her stage of her career, and playing the guard position in particular, but she's still doing the thing. Watch that Seattle team. Breonna Stewart's great. Sue Bird's swan song season officially for her now. And Jewel Lloyd is a budding star in this league. So again, plenty of star power if you want to check out Storm this week.
I'm just going to say, and this is good life advice in general, know what you're worth. Mm-hmm. Now, what am I talking about here? So you may remember before the baseball season started, on opening day nonetheless, Aaron Judge and the Yankees did not come to an agreement on a long-term deal. It's his last year before reaching free agency. And Brian Cashman, for reasons I still don't quite understand, had a press conference and kind of aired out the dirty laundry that we offered him $30.5 million over seven seasons, which is very weird in that you never see that with GMs basically saying these are the exact terms we laid out, almost like he was trying to make Aaron Judge look bad or something, which, I mean, he's only the best player on the team, so I don't know why you're trying to turn the fan base against him and make him look unreasonable, but whatever. I digress. Since then, Aaron Judge is batting .310. He leads Major League Baseball in home runs. He's been the best player on the best team, and he's the betting favorite for AL MVP. He's probably going to win his first AL MVP, and now he's probably going to make $40 million a year instead of instead of 30.5, and you probably could have signed him for 33, 34, 35 million, whatever it was. So bet on yourself if you know if you're a good enough talent and know exactly what you were worth, like one Mr. Aaron Judge did.
That is a good life legend. Shout out to Aaron Judge. Also, as a very, very, very casual baseball observer, I do follow a bunch of baseball fans, and a lot of them are Yankee fans. Like, it's also just weird to hear the Yankees in the news for not paying people,
right?
Like, you have, if there's a blank checkbook franchise in sports, like, you would think that would just be the Yankees, because it's kind of historically what they've been. And so to nickel and dime Aaron Judge is just weird, and now he's showing you exactly why you shouldn't nickel and dime him. And also, if I, casual observer, recognize that the Yankees shell out cash for stars, why would you think that strategy of, hey, this guy actually just wants a bunch of selfish, why would you think that would work with Yankee fans in particular? They know what this organization is about.
I don't get it. I'm a Yankee fan. I don't get it. I don't understand what the hell they're doing.
That just,
but, you know, it'll be fun when he's playing on the Dodgers next year, or the Mets, or one of these teams that actually will go spend top dollar instead of the Yankees.
That's just weird. The Yankees got to get it together. Anyway, I'm just going to say it. We need basketball people in basketball movies. And I say this a little bit tongue in cheek because I watched Hustle yesterday. No. And Hustle, for one, it's a very good and very enjoyable movie. But I'll just say, slight spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it yet, you should check it out. It's on Netflix. Again, it's a good movie and I enjoyed it. I will say, like, Juancho Hernan Gomez, who is like a role player, power forward, can play some five for you in the NBA for real. He is the main character of this movie. And if you've seen any of like the clips from the movie on the timeline, there are a few scenes where he's faced off with Anthony Edwards, who is named Kermit Wilt in the movie. And I'm just like, wait. So they have Bo Cruz, who is the main character's name in the movie. You have Bo Cruz / Juancho Hernan Gomez, who is a power forward in real life, defending Anthony Edwards, who is not only a shooting guard, but one of the most explosive athletes in the NBA. You have him guarding Anthony Edwards on purpose. And there's a question as to why Anthony Edwards is getting buckets and talking trash to him. Why? Why did this happen? Why did you set him up like this? And then in the movie, it's just like, oh, I don't know if he can defend. I don't know if I want him. It's like, of course he can. If that's what he's being set up to do, that's not how that works. But that's just a nitpicky thing for me. That doesn't mean I hate the movie. But like, if we're doing a movie about like finding an unheralded prospect and it's through the perspective of a scout, like, because that's the setup, it's more important for that to be a little bit more accurate. Like, it's a movie, so nothing's going to be one-to-one in that regard. But since that's the perspective it's coming from, you can't have Wancho out there defending Anthony Edwards, man. That's, come on. Come on, man. Come on.
I mean, Adam Sandler is a pretty big sports fan. Like, you would think he would know this, let alone, you know, I mean, Netflix throws money at people left and right. You would think they would hire some sort of basketball consultant. And I'm sure they did. I'm sure they have a former coach or scout or somebody on staff who, during the making of this film, where they can kind of say, all right, well, this is what would happen in this situation or whatnot. So yeah, that just seems weird.
It was just, I'm just like, I'm not even saying like those two can't have an interaction, because if you watch the movie, or if you're going to watch the movie, the scenes between those two, they are really good. Like, Anthony Edwards is really good in this movie. So I'm not even saying they shouldn't be able to talk trash each other or whatever, but for that to just kind of be the matchup was just odd to me. It was very odd. Like, surely there's like a wing or a big man in the league. Like, Joel Embiid's in the movie. If you want to just have like a trash talking NBA star to face off against Wancho / Bo Cruz, like, that would have made more sense than Anthony Edwards. But again, very enjoyable movie, very good movie. The dialogue is great. The story is great. So if you have not watched Hustle, I can vouch for it. But just know that that's a little bit of weirdness that had me like, wait a minute. Wait, that's not how that works.
You heard it here. Hustle gets the Nakias somewhat pseudo seal of approval. Well, as Jasmine mentioned the other day, this is the season finale of You Late. And I just want to say, as the producer of the show and working with Jasmine and Nakias, they are two remarkable talents. And I don't say that just because Nakias is sitting here on the Zoom and because Jasmine can't hear me and react to it. But it's been a pleasure for me to produce for both of you. And I would like to just take a moment to thank all of the listeners who have taken the time to download each and every episode of this podcast, as they should be, because it's been very good, and listening to it and coming along with us on this journey. So I know for myself as a producer, I'm very appreciative of that. So thank you.
I appreciate you, Jared. You have been the star behind the scenes for all of this, and sometimes the star on the scene when you've had to fill in for either one of us or just pop in to correct Jasmine for yet another wrong take on the podcast. So I do appreciate what you've been able to do. It's been a blast to kind of, one, just to rock with the podcast. Jasmine is great, and I tell her all the time how great she is. I guess just for me, like, it's cool to take the serious hat off sometimes and just be like, all right, what was fun yesterday? What was fun over the weekend? And it's nice to have that as kind of a counter to the more serious X's and O's things that I do with like the dunker spot or with my writing or whatever. So I appreciate kind of the breath of fresh air that this podcast was. I once again thank the listeners for being awesome, for rocking with us, not just listening and downloading the podcast, but hitting us up on Twitter, going along with bits, adding to bits, like where I'm hosting dunker spot watch parties for some of the finals and stuff like that. And we have people that listen to both pods in the comment section throwing out bits and hashtagging about like the books in the freezer and stuff. And like, we get ready to start a finals game, whatever, and we'll have someone in the comments saying, let's kick this pig. And it's just like, that's dope that kind of thing just carries over into other areas. So I really do appreciate the support that we've got for this podcast, the support you've shown me, the support you've shown Jasmine. Again, Jasmine is one of the most talented people that I know. And I am, it's been a pleasure to be able to talk to her one time a week on this podcast when she's gallivanting with her famous friends and such. But no, this has been a lot of fun. I really do appreciate the opportunity.
Well said, well said. You were late. Now you're caught up. Make sure you follow us on Twitter for everything that is going on in our lives. You can follow me at Mr. Jared Moore. You can follow Jasmine at Jasmine L. Watkins. And
Never forget the L, folks. You can follow me on Twitter at NikiasNBA. And with that, we will catch y'all another time.
Adios.